gut sound. Just turn to somebody and bless them. Just if you don't like them, bless them right in the face. Just say, I bless you in Jesus' name. Be good. Okay. Who is, now don't point at her, who is the mouthiest person that you know? We said, don't point at her. Half the congregation pointed at Debbie. She has a reputation around here. For real, I want you to think about this. Who is the person that you know that whatever is in their mind drops out of their mouth? And sometimes there's no stop. Debbie just raising her own hand now. I don't know. Okay. Okay. Now, who is the most confident person you know? But I'm not talking about arrogant. Arrogant people are not as confident as quiet people, most generally. You'll look at somebody and they will seem arrogant and they are fronting because they're fearful. But when you see somebody sitting in the back of the room that's quiet, be careful, okay? Have you ever known someone that can do anything? I know a couple people like that. They play music, build a house, cook food, whatever they do. Anybody know anybody like that? I have a kid like that. He just took all my good stuff and it, I never had it. He just was better. Okay. Okay. But people like that, when they come up to a challenge, they just know in their mind. What do they know? I can do that. I can handle that. That's confidence. Arrogance is the person that has to scream and yell and try to intimidate you because they're not sure if they can do it or not. The quiet person, he just, I got this. This ain't no thing. Okay? Now, I want you to think about the person that, let me give you a good illustration. When was the fair? Was that the parade? Was that last week? Was that last week or weekend before? I've lost. It was the weekend before, wasn't it? Claire has some children that she has raised since they were small. She's been an au pair, a babysitter, but she's upgraded that. She like has raised, and they're throwing out candy. And one of the mean kids in town, there's probably three of them, they were stealing the candy from her kid. And she look at her for a minute, and then she goes, could you just step over, please? She said, please, she's nice, okay? Now, that is not everything you know drops out your mouth. That's not that. That is confidence. That is being assertive. Does that, I'm not going to let you step on the boundary of that which I have charge over. It'll be okay if you do that somewhere else. It's not okay if you do it here. And the confidence to back up, I'd like to seen a mom jump on her because that'd been pretty on camera somewhere. Somebody would have had that. It'd been on YouTube. No. Yeah. I saw a lady one time that grew up maybe a little different than what some other people did and with some discipline and that kind of thing. And she was disciplining one of her kids in Walmart and somebody else tried to correct her for correcting her kid. That was yeah, there you go, Debbie. That was pre-days of YouTube, or she would have been on YouTube, okay? Okay, do you understand the difference of what I'm talking about when I say arrogance, confidence, stupid, assertive? Do you understand that? Okay, now, in the Bible, there is a word that is the confident and the assertive have a child. It is not arrogant, and it is not just blowing off at the mouth. It is confident, assertive speech. It has to do with speech. This word is used 29 times in the New Testament. If something's used 29 times in the New Testament, do you think it might be important? Okay, 29 times in the New Testament. 26 of the times, it has to do with speaking. Okay, so if I want to know what something means in the Bible, Where would I learn that at? Some people run to a commentary or a television. And I go, hold on just a minute before you get to the commentary or current events. Let me have you go back to the Bible, look up the word in the Bible, and then see how many times that word is used in the Bible. See the context of it. What does it mean in the Bible? Because there's a word that will mean something in the Bible that does not mean something in Webster's dictionary. Does that make sense? Okay, so there's a word in the Bible that 29 times it's used, 26 times it has to do with speaking. Okay, so the context of the Bible is, it is confidence, but it is speaking. Now I'm gonna tell you the word. That word is boldness. And it means to speak 26 times. So whenever I say someone is bold, it may not mean they feel like a lion on the inside. They might not. It doesn't mean that they, it just means that they speak what God says or what is appropriate for the situation according to the word of the Lord. Does that make sense? Everybody in this room needs more boldness. Okay, it is a for real need in the body of Christ. But you cannot make yourself more bold. That's the context of it isn't, I just get a little bit more confidence, I'm just going to speak a little clearer, a little louder. That's not it. It is that God, and I'll show you the scripture I'm going to tell you, and then we're going to go to the scripture and see it. It is God grants you boldness. It's a blessing or a grace from God. And it is in context of speaking the principles of God or the word of the Lord. Am I clear on that? I'll illustrate. A couple years ago, I met the chaplain of the U.S. Senate. His name is Dr. Barry Black. If you've ever seen the Capitol building, and in the top of it is a crow's nest, that's where his office is, with windows that look all over 360 degree view of DC. And I was invited into that office, had prayer with Barry Black, spent about a half an hour that he put off his schedule for me and a couple other guys, and it was awesome. And then so I started watching. At that time, you could watch the Senate on, you probably still can, go to a website, you could watch Senate on TV or watch a laptop. And a few weeks later, there was a government shutdown, and that shutdown went for several weeks. And I'm watching Dr. Barry Black. He's an African-American guy that's about 2 inches or 3 inches shorter than me. That means he's really short. And he has a baritone booming voice that resonates. And in the Senate chamber, he sounds like God. Everybody bowed their head, closed their eyes. And then he sounds like God speaking, because it's not a 5'6" African-American man standing up there, right? And here's what the government shut down. The senators that have voted to shut it down. And he comes to the lectern and he prays, Father, forgive us. We need your wisdom to be poured into our ignorance and our inabilities. Father, we have been incompetent in this room, and we need your wisdom to help us to understand the decisions that we make affect a nation. That was not arrogant, and it was not boastful, but it was bold. They're the guys that vote on his position and his paycheck, and he just called them ignorant and incompetent and making stupid decisions, right? Here's what I want you to see from Scripture. There are ways of living that are contrary to God's methodology, methods, and ways. You and I will always live in places that are not congruent with the will of God. Does that make anybody agree with that? You're going to get to heaven and it'll be different there. But as long as you live on the earth, right? And there's something that the Bible calls boldness that enables us to live in those environments and be examples of the kingdom of God. Okay? 29 times that word, 29 times in the New Testament, 26 of those, it has to do with us speaking. Okay? Now, there's only one place you can get that boldness, and it is you have to write a grant. Anybody ever been involved in grant writing? Thank you, Jesus, that your hand did not go up. It is very difficult, and a lot of times organizations or governments are really bad, and you fill out an application, and then you send in the application, and if you get the grant, I spent some time involved with grants that schools get, and if you get the grant, the government will give you, you can't get one right now because the government shut down, but the government will give you money in order that children can eat in the school. That's what I was dealing with, okay? Now, here's the thing about a grant. It is given without paying it back. A grant's not a loan. A grant's a scholarship. Somebody else has paid or given the money that goes into a fund, and then the grant comes out of that fund. That's important. Hang with me. It's the same word in Greek that it is in Latin that comes to English. A grant is a grant is a grant. And it means you apply and you get free money that somebody else came up with. Okay? Now, I'm going to show you the word in just about 30 seconds. Peter is going to pray a prayer where he is making an application for a grant. He actually says, sometimes the prayer, it will say, will you answer my prayer? Sometimes it will say, will you hear me, Lord? In this, it says, will you give me a grant? And the grant that he is asking for is boldness. I go, that's interesting, because we'll read it. It's in Acts 4. If you want to go to Acts 4, and I'll catch you up on the story. And Molly, do I have some water right there? I have an analog Bible. I hardly ever use it, so I'm going to use my phone in a minute, okay? Usually use my iPad or my phone, because I can get to original language is easier that way. Okay, here's a story. There's a guy that has been sick for years. He's brought to the temple. He was actually in the temple when Jesus came in and out of the temple, but he was never healed. One day, Peter and John are going to the temple, and they see the guy, and the Lord shows them now is the time for him to be healed. There's faith in the room. They go, we see your faith. They pray for him in the name of Jesus. Actually, it was a command. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Peter grabs him by the hand. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And the guy did after decades of being crippled. In the name of Jesus, he is instantly healed. Yeah, we say amen. Well, two or three of us do. But we say amen. But the Jewish, now let me run it back for you. The Jewish Sanhedrin was the Jewish legal system. They are the ones that killed Jesus. Do you remember that? They killed Jesus, and now this guy is being healed in the name of Jesus. And it is a doctrinal and a social problem for them. So they bring Peter and John in, right? And I want you to look with me. Give me that. Are we messed up here? Okay, it's all right. If you can't see it in the big Bible, it's still in the real Bible, okay? Okay, they bring, I'll just tell you the stories and quote the scriptures. It'll be good. They bring Peter and John in, and they go, how in the world did you heal that guy? What were Peter and John's education level? Do you remember? Go ahead and say that loud. Yeah, yeah. They were what? They were what? Fishermen. They were blue-collar workers in a non-reading society. So they probably could read a little bit. We know John could because he writes John, Revelation, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. We know John could read. He was the smart one in the group, okay? Peter may have been able to, but most likely not too much because he did not write a gospel. He had John Mark write his gospel. And people have all kinds of reasons. I go, what about if he just couldn't write that well? He is a fisherman that did not go to school. He did not go to rabbinical school. That was the only school there was. Does that help us out a little bit? Now, who are the guys that they are standing up against? They've been drawn into the court. How much education do the guys that are in the court have? They got all of it. As a matter of fact, all the education system and all the legal system of the culture runs through these guys that Peter is standing in front of. And here's what the Bible says. If we could get it on the big Bible, you could read it. But now you're going to have to read it on that paper Bible you have, okay? Now, here's what it says. And the court recognized, and here's the word that it says, they recognized the boldness, it's 4:13, Acts 4:13. They recognized the boldness of Peter and John and that they had been with Jesus. That's interesting. And you look at it and you go, wait a minute. Those are the same guys that interviewed Jesus before they condemned him to death, gave him to the Romans, and he died on the cross. It was exactly the same individuals. Caiaphas is mentioned in both accounts. The same guys that condemned Jesus now have Peter and John in front of them, and they go, we have felt this spirit before. We have seen this kind of individual. Now you think about this, probably 4 to 5 years after Jesus has died. You think about all the court cases they have dealt with. And they go, wait a minute, you guys remind us of him. What is it that reminded them? It was their boldness. And we just learned from the Bible by 26 times that boldness would be the way that they spoke because of the confidence that was in their spirit. Now they go. And so Pete stands up. We prayed for him in Jesus' name, and Jesus healed the guy, and that's because Jesus is alive. And here's what Pete says, and you guys killed him, but the Father raised him from the dead. How you like that? Fishermen to the Sanhedrin, to the Supreme Court of the culture. And they go, well, there's really not much we can do about this because 5,000 guys believe because of that miracle. They go, there's not really much we can do about this. And then it goes, and they beat them and let them go. Before they give them the whipping, they said, you can preach if you want. Don't preach in Jesus' name. And Pete goes, we will preach in Jesus' name. How can we not do what we have seen and what we have already heard about his name? And so they beat him, they let him go. So here they are beaten up. They are freshly beaten, guys. And if you read Acts down between that account, there's some preaching there. And then it goes, and they went to where their group was. They came to First Baptist Church of Hope. They got out of jail in Columbus. Came to First Baptist Church at Hope. That was their guys. And they said, men, let's have a prayer meeting. It's 4:29. When they get there, they go, God grant us boldness that we will speak your word, that you will extend your hand to heal, that signs and wonders will be done in the name of your holy son, Jesus. And I go, somebody pump the brakes. Put the brakes on. Dude, you just got beaten because of what? Boldness. That's as the Sanhedrin said it. You guys are bold like Jesus was bold. They just got beaten for boldness. And what do they pray for? More boldness. We just got in trouble. That was fun. Let's do that again, huh? And I go, let me pump the brakes. You're praying for more boldness? I think, A, that you prayed for a guy that was crippled and he got healed. I think that was an act of boldness. B, after it was over, in deference to, you are defying the guys that would have power over your life. You preach the gospel. Then, three, you're brought before them. You stand before them in boldness. Four, you leave there to keep doing what you were doing that got you in trouble. I go, dude, if you need boldness, guess what? I need a double dose portion anointing or however you say it, right? So they are praying for what got them in trouble because here's what they realize. If they don't keep pushing back, the culture will push them back. If you give in to fear, fear will control and overcome you. And they say, so what they say is, we see it as boldness that assisted us in this moment. What I need is more boldness for the moments ahead. Is that good? And so they write a grant to heaven. God, would you grant boldness? And I want to give you just New Testament. I'm going to run through it real quick. I'm not going to turn to all the scriptures and all like that. I'll quote some of them. I'm run through it real quick to get to point five. I have 5 points. Point five is the one I'm trying to get to, okay? There is a grant, and it is one of the three times that the word boldness is not associated with speech in the Bible, though speech could be implied in the New Testament, okay? And so there are four places that I need boldness. Here's number one, and it is number one in order. It is number one of importance. Is I need boldness in prayer to God. And that's why I gave the illustration of Barry Black. Barry Black was not condemning people. He was praying to God, and other people were listening in. I don't know what other people choose to believe, but it was 48 hours later that the government, you can look it up on YouTube, I'm sure, Reverend Barry Black. It was 2 or 3 days later after he prayed that prayer, the government was opened back up again. So I'm believing that there was influence on that. Number one is I need boldness with God. Let me help you out with everybody in the room. There are three reasons people sin, and everybody here has. Some of us might even accidentally fall into one later on in life. You sinned before you got saved. And I don't know if anybody's told you, there's a real good chance that you've probably sinned after you got saved. And everybody that sins, there's only three reasons that they sin. It's written in the wording of sin in Hebrew language in the Old Testament. Okay. And here's number one. Number one is people sin because they are ignorant that it is sin. I didn't know there was a God. I didn't know God had that standard. And so they will actually defy God, not knowing that God has a standard they are defying. It is ignorant. Number two, the reason people sin is weakness. In Hebrew, it's called missing the mark. You ever heard, for all have, finish that verse for me, Romans 3:23. We're good Baptist people. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That is the word that means no one in this room is as good as God. Therefore, you have fallen short of God. You may have tried to be good, and you shot the arrow, and the arrow is actually the language in Greek. The arrow fell short of the target. So some people try not to sin, or there are particular things that overcome us, and we will go, I am trying not to do that, but it's Vicky and eating cookies. I illustrated her about 3 weeks in a row eating cookies. And she said, quit illustrating me eating cookies. You make me hungry for cookies every time you say it. And so Vicky goes, I'm not going to eat cookies. I'm not going to eat cookies. I'm not going. Here's her cycle. I'm not going to eat cookies. Lord, forgive me for eating too many cookies. I'm not going to eat cookies. I'm never going to eat another cookie. Lord, forget chocolate chip. Oh, my. The illustrations come across on the, however they come across. She's looking at Facebook and it's Oreos. And then she's going, Lord, forgive me. And Vicky really tried and she made it for like 3 hours. Okay. That word, one, she goes one. Her best is 58 minutes, y'all. Okay. Now watch. That word is Vicky tried and couldn't do it. So some people sin because they're ignorant. They don't know it's sin. Some people sin because they try, but they fall short. The third way is the way most people think all sin is, but it is not, because there are different words for sin. The third way is arrogance. One is ignorance. Two is weakness. Three is arrogance. Arrogant sin is, God, I know you said don't eat cookies. I'm eating cookies anyway. Because me and you got our own thing going. Doobie Brothers in the 70s. Me and Jesus got our own thing going. It's okay for everybody else or not okay for everybody else. But me and Jesus, we hooked up and everything's all right. And it's okay for me to do this sin that Jesus said you're not allowed to do. Okay? And that is, here's the word. Shaking your fist at God, going, I don't care what you say. I'm going to do what I want to do. Ignorance is sin, weakness is sin, and arrogance is sin. And I like to do me and participate in all three. And then there's a word called conviction. That word is when the Holy Spirit comes to the human heart and illuminates your heart. And so now you can no longer say ignorant, because the Holy Spirit starts telling you don't do this. Right? And then I go, okay, I tried. As hard as I could, I really did. But I couldn't hold on or hold up. And I still find myself in weakness. And God and me both know that I'm doing the rebellion thing. And therefore, I cannot get back to God. And now, I need something called boldness. Where the Bible says in Hebrews 4:16, that it is the desire of God for me to come boldly to the throne of grace in a time of need. I bow my head in humility before God. I repent before God. And then I lift my face in the strength that comes from the power of the blood of Jesus in the next verse. That gives me my confidence in God is not my activity. My confidence in God is the blood Jesus shed on the cross that has the power to forgive a human being for their sin. And on the other side of that forgiveness, they come before him with their face lifted and their eyes looking up and their hands going, I come boldly to God in prayer because of the blood of Jesus. Isn't that good news? Some people just act like it's good news and go amen for me, okay? To me, that's really good news. To y'all that don't sin that much, you guys got a different thing. But for me, that is important. So I need boldness, A, in repentance. Here's number two. I need boldness in request. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3, here's what he says. Unto him, it goes, pray to him, talk to him, unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think. So there is no request that is greater than, or you cannot make a request that is greater than God's ability to perform, because he can do more than you can think. That is like really good news. So I need boldness. I need to come to God boldly because of the blood of Jesus. My sins are forgiven, and now I have a request. God, I am too weak to make it. Give me strength to make it. Talked to a pretty person 30 years in sobriety. And I go, why do you even say sobriety anymore? You've been clean longer than you were drinking. Why do you say I'm in 30 years sobriety? And what this person said to me was, because for 30 years I have gotten up and said the same prayer, and it has worked for 30 years, and it is, God, keep me sober today. Huh? And she goes, it's worked all that time. I'm not changing anything. This is, my life is good right here. Because here's what she said. I was weak, and I tried, and I couldn't make it. But then I came boldly to God with a request because of what Jesus has done. And it is, he forgives me of my sin. B, it is request. And then the third type of prayer, and I'm going to run through to get to the end. The third type of prayer is a relation prayer. So repentance. Every prayer you pray with God will be about repentance. It will be about request, or it will be about relationship. And I want to... there is a verse, there's about five of them. This is one of my top five that have driven my personal relationship with God for most of my adult life. One of those is John 17:26. Just put that one down. And what Jesus said is, the love that the Father has loved the Son will be in me, and I can love Jesus like the Father loves. I go, that one is crazy. John 17:26. I have shown them you, and I pray that the love wherewith the Father has loved the Son may be in them, and I will be in them. So there's a good request. It'll last till you get to heaven. Okay? And I come boldly, one, repentance, two, request, three, relationship. Okay, so bold number one is prayer. Bold number two is, those are A, B, C, D. I want to clear it up for you, okay? I could tell I was being confusing to some people, okay? Here's point number two. I need boldness, A, to pray. I need boldness, B, to proclaim the name of Jesus. Huh? In and against a culture that is against that name. And I can never resist that culture in discipline. It must be boldness that comes from the Lord. So that I pray something, say something, give something, do something. I was talking to Molly about this. And I go, do you know what it feels like when God tells you to do something? How many people know what I'm talking about? And I go, when God tells you to do something, there will always be a resistance against what God tells you to do. How many people know what I'm talking about? Huh? And I go, do you know that? Explain this to me. I call it feels almost like anxiety, excitement, knowing, determination. And my wife is great with making things understandable. She taught children for years. And she goes, oh, you're talking about the oomph. She goes, when God tells you to do something, there's another oomph in there. You can't forget it. Anybody ever tried to convince God that what he said wasn't right and you shouldn't do that? You should do something else. Anybody ever done that one? How'd that turn out for you? God will consistently remind you. He knows what he's talking about. That's the oomph. That oomph is perpetuated by something in the Bible called boldness. So God tells me, now I need supernatural boldness to speak or act or do in the culture the thing God has called me to do. Does that make sense? So number one, so I got clear, I'll put the right numerals to the outline. Number one is I need boldness to pray. And then A, B, C, D. Now, number two, I need boldness to proclaim the name of Jesus in the culture. Let me show you something real interesting. This is totally self-serving. Number three, I need boldness to proclaim the name of Jesus in the church. I'm going to quote a scripture for you. It's Ephesians chapter 6. If you have your Bible, you could turn to Ephesians chapter 6. It's going to be like 19 to 22 or 23. It's the Apostle Paul writing a letter to the Ephesians on how to pray for him when he's preaching to them or to other churches, or writing letters, or when he is preaching, sometimes he would go out into the public square, proclaim the gospel. So Paul goes, I'm writing to you guys. I'm going to try to make it to you. Here are, he does five instructions on prayer in the book of Ephesians. He ends it with the last instruction. The last instruction is, here's how you need to pray for me when I'm preaching the gospel. Okay? It has 4 points. Point number one is that I would preach as I ought. So I'll say to First Baptist Church of Hope, Indiana, instructed by the Bible, written by Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, coming from the Father, here are 4 points. You please pray when I preach. Okay? Number one, that I would speak as I ought. And when you take that apart, what it means, let me say the right thing at the right time. That is the word of the Lord. That word ought is logos. Let me give the word of the Lord at the right time, say the right thing, and I add to it in my own mind, to the right person. Whether that's one-on-one, whether it's on the street, whether it's speaking out there, or it's speaking in here to 10 or to 1,000. Lord, let me give the word of the Lord, say the right thing at the right time to the right person. Let me speak as I ought. Now watch this, it's amazing. How many people think Paul might be bold? He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, 2/3 of what he wrote in prison. When you ask Paul, give me your credentials, what school did you graduate from? He would go, well, here's credential number one is this scar here. Credential number two is this scar here. Oh, yeah, they threw rocks at me and killed me at the gates of Lystra. Then I was out in the ocean for all these days. I didn't have anything to eat or drink. And he goes through what he has suffered for the gospel. I go, dude, bold of all bold. When I look in the Bible, I look for boldness. I go, Paul, well, look at what he says. Let me pray, let me preach as I ought. Look at point two. And that I may be bold. So look what he says. The culture is going to creep in if my boldness isn't pushing out. And even though I'm preaching around the world and all kinds of stuff that he's doing, he goes, let me preach as I ought, and B, would you pray that I would be bold? You guys think bold might be important from God's point of view? Do you think that there may be a lack of the expansion of the gospel because of a lack of boldness in the church? Anybody think that in my own life, one of my challenges, and for me, I'm just revisiting my own challenge, I'm preaching to me, not you, is that I find my boldness get strong, be less. When I am less, it feels kind of bad. When I'm strong, it feels kind of good. That's just what I find. God says I obey quickly. God says I have 27 excuses. God knocks them down one at a time. Finally, 3 years later, I obey, and God blesses you for the obedience. That's amazing. Okay, but what I needed was more. I think the gospel is going to go to more people. The name of Jesus is going to be more expanded if we simply would what? Have more boldness. So Paul says, let me speak as I ought. Then he goes, let me be bold. Now watch next. That I would uncover, explain the mystery of Christ or the mystery of the gospel. And that's, and what that is that the people I'm speaking to, there is a clarity that comes to their mind when I'm speaking because the mystery of the gospel is seen and known. And then look at point four. He goes right back and goes, let me be bold again. So speak as I ought, be bold. Number three, unwrap the mystery of the gospel. Number four, he goes, that I would be bold again. So y'all pray for me that I'll be twice as bold as I am right now. That's easy. One, speak as I art. And two, one is about the written word. The other is the mystery of the prophetic word. It's not quite as clear, but it's the mystery of the gospel. And Paul says, let me have the foundation of the word, but let me have the freshness of inspiration that comes now. And let me have boldness to speak both of them. Is that good? Okay. And number four, it's going to be Hebrews 10. I forget. I think 46, but it's Hebrews 10. Let me give you one scripture, and I'm going to say amen. Here's the main point. Is to speak boldness to my own mind. To speak boldly to my own mind. Five provocative statements. Now I want to pray. 93% of everything you do every day comes from your subconscious mind. You don't think heartbeat. You don't think liver function. You don't think. And in the same way, you have done things over time in life that your subconscious mind takes off. Let me tell you what else. Your subconscious mind can tell somebody's lying before your conscious mind can. Your subconscious mind will pick a thing up. It just senses and sees and knows. It is so much more powerful. It's not the tip of the iceberg. It is the top of the iceberg out of the ground and everything that's under this, your subconscious mind. Okay, I'd love to talk about that for an hour. I'm not going to. Point number two, the most important conversation you have every day is with God. The second most important conversation you have every day is with yourself. Most of what you do and do not know, do, much of what you do and do not do consciously comes on the other end of a conversation you have had with yourself. Much of what you don't do that you could do is you convinced you that you couldn't do it before you tried. Because there was a conversation that went on in your mind. What Paul encourages us, or the writer of Hebrews encourages us, is I want you to speak of the power of God to yourself and inundate your subconscious mind with the goodness and power of God. So when your subconscious mind talks to your conscious mind, it does it from a foundation of the ability and the goodness of God. David said it like this: why so downcast, O my soul? Hope in God. He goes, my soul is downcast. And now I'm having to speak to my own soul to find hope in God, to move forward in the future that God has for me. That is like amazing news, okay? Martin Lloyd-Jones is a pastor in England. I read something that he said one time. I've not forgotten it in two decades. Here's what he said. The problem with most internal talk is that you join the conversation, you don't start it. I'll say it again. The problem with most internal talk is you join the conversation, you don't start it. Oh, I can't do that. Oh, this isn't going to work out well. Oh, this. And that conversation's already started. And what Dr. Jones said is you start the conversation by, God is powerful and he's for me. God is good today, and God's with me. Now, I have started the conversation in the goodness and in the power of God. Read one verse, and here's the amen. I need to give you a verse for that last one. It's Hebrews 13:6. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man should do to me. Context in Hebrews is he is speaking to himself, not other people. The Lord we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what men shall do to me. Then here's point number five. Bold, bold, bold. Point number five is be bold on the day of judgment. And for scripture, 1 John 4, verse 17. Herein is our love made more perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so we are in this world. In case you haven't noticed, everyone in here may not make it out of this earth alive. You're not going to do it. You're not going to make it alive. So here's what he says. On the day that I leave this earth, I'm going to go to heaven. And when I go to heaven, I will stand not in arrogance, but in boldness. I will stand in boldness because I am confident in what Christ has done for me. On that day, I want to be not cowering and saying, God, I didn't do what you said. I didn't live up to my potential. I never lived out purpose because I was fearful. And what John is saying here, if I will be bold in my praying, bold in my relationship to the culture, bold in my relationship in the church, bold in my relationship in myself, in my encounter with God in me, that after I leave this earth, I will be bold before him. And I want to live life now so I'm bold then. Good news, isn't it? So I want to just pray for us, and our worship team will come. And the thing I want to, if you want to pray for somebody that's next to you, that'd be fine. If you want to grab their hand, you want to stand, why don't we have everybody stand, and then you guys can come, and I'll pray, and then we'll begin to worship. Why don't we just have a worship team come now? Maybe somebody even in front of you, beside you, just want to bless them, have a break from a long talk. Father, I pray right now, according to your word, that you would give us a grant that comes because Christ has paid a price. A grant that comes to us that enables us to come to you boldly in prayer because we trust in the blood of Jesus. And we will come bold in our repentance and bold in our request and our relationship because of your goodness toward us. Lord, I pray that by the spirit of wisdom and revelation, unlocking the knowledge of Jesus, as Peter prayed in the scripture in Acts, that you would grant unto us boldness, that you would extend your hand to heal, that signs and wonders be done in the name of your holy Son, Jesus, that he be elevated because of the boldness you place in us. I pray that there would be strength and courage to accomplish the plans and purposes that you've designed. But I just sense this morning just this thing about you bring people together that will synergistically do more than either could ever do apart. And it takes boldness to step over self-conscious in order to have those friendships and those connections. And so I pray that you just release the grace for that in this room today. And sometimes we just feel under condemnation and under the weight of the attack of the enemy. And we need boldness in your name to step through to victory. I pray that grace over this room in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Molly will come stand down with me. And if you need further prayer, if you'll come, we'd like to pray for you.